dangers of the plane itself, and all the perils we did not yet know. Only Swan had any experience of that. He had nothing positive to report. Nor had Mergen at any time over the years, though his experiences had been dramatically different from Swan's. Mergen had experienced the glittering plane in two worlds at once. Swan seemed to have experienced the version in our world in sharper focus. Even after so many years, he could describe particular landmarks in exquisite detail. "How come you never talked about this before?"
"I never hid it, Sleepy.
But there just don't seem to be much percentage in volunteering anything in this world. If I admit anything I know about that place, next thing I'll know is good old Willow Swan is elected to go back up there as the guide for a gang of invaders guaranteed to irritate the shit out of whatever spirits haunt the place. Am I right, or am I right?"
"You aren't as stupid as you let on. I thought you didn't see any spirits."
"Not the way Mergen claimed he saw them, but that don't mean I didn't feel them creeping around. You'll find out. You try to sleep at night when you feel hungry shadows calling you from a few feet away. It's like being inside a zoo with all the predators in the world slavering just the other side of the bars. Bars that you can't see, and can't even feel, and so have no way of knowing if they're trustworthy. And all this jabber ain't doing my nerves any good at all neither, Sleepy."
"We may never have to go up there, Swan. If the key we've got is a fake or isn't any good anymore. Then there won't be anything we can do but maybe set up your brewery and pretend we never heard of the Protector or the Radisha or the Black Company."
"Be still my heart! You know goddamn well that thing's going to be the true key. Your god, my gods, somebody's gods have got a boner for Willow Swan, and they're gonna keep making sure that whatever happens, it's gonna be the worst possible thing, and it's gonna happen to me. I ought to run out on you now. I ought to turn you in to the nearest royal official. Only that would let Soulcatcher know that I'm still alive. Then she'd get real nasty, asking me why I didn't turn you in 3-4 months ago.
Not to mention you'd probably get yourself dead long before you could unearth an official who cared enough to listen to you."
"There's that, too."
Doge came back with the weapons. We passed them around, resumed traveling. Swan continued eloquently describing himself as the firstborn son of misfortune. He went through these spells of high drama. A half mile down the road we encountered a small peasant's market. A few old folks and youngsters who could not contribute much on the farm waited to take advantage of travelers still shaking from the miseries of the mountains. Fresh foods in season were their hot sellers, but they retailed gossip at no charge as long as you contributed a few snippets of your own. They found doings beyond the Don de Preche particularly intriguing.
I asked a young girl, who looked like she could be the little sister of the customs official back up the road,
"Do you remember many of the people who came through here? My father was supposed to have come down ahead of us, to find us a place to settle."
I proceeded to describe Narayan Singh in detail. The child was a light-hearted thing, without a care or concern. Chances are she did not recall what she had eaten for breakfast. She did not remember Narayan, but went off to find someone who might.
"Where was she when I was young enough to get married?" Swan grumbled. "She'll be pretty when she's older. And she doesn't have a brain in her head to complicate things."
"Buy her. Bring her along. Raise her upright."
"I'm not as pretty as I used to be."